Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And now.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Well, well, well. Folks are getting moved in. Class is upon us. That can mean only one thing. Cold and flu season. No. Sports! Sports are back.
You were right on both
counts. I was going to say, he's both fronts are right there.
I was about to say, clinics have to love this time of year. Everybody's getting their physicals and then cold and flu season as well.
Yeah, big time.
It's also the time for 2 a.m. lines in Hardy Street outside of Cane's every
night. Hey, that's a party over there, I hear. So I've heard.
Where do they open? Are they like till 3 or 4 a.m.?
Cookout is till 3 a.m. I think Cane's is open till 1 or 2. Don't ask me how I know that.
I knew about Cookout. Cookout was brand new when I was in college, and that was the destination. Because all of a sudden, you had somewhere other than Waffle House to go to.
Of course, I remember, though, before the pandemic, when I was in college, there was a lot more open late, too. Also, we had 24-hour Walmart still.
Yeah, the things pre-COVID...
I still miss 24-hour Walmart to this day.
Oh, yeah, because they roll up the side. Sometimes you just want to go to Walmart at 11:30.
I don't want to. It's a need. I don't want to.
I was about to say, it beats the heck out of going on a Sunday afternoon.
That's what I'm saying. You want to in the sense of you need something.
Exactly.
And you're like, they're not busy. I want to go now.
Yeah.
If nothing else, traffic within Walmart is one thing. But the traffic to get in and out of Walmart on Hardy Street is another.
Yeah.
See, you get a little bit of everything on Crusader Talk.
That's right.
You get a little bit of everything.
What were we talking about, Caleb? We said, hey, if Josh doesn't show up, our first segment was just going to be about fried chicken at the dining hall.
Or? Yeah, something like that.
You brought it up. They had a very spectacular menu opening day today. I was talking to Kevin Rosary earlier today, and he's going over the menu. He's like, wow, what a menu. And I went, is it the first day of class? He's like, yeah. I went, there you go. They're coming out swinging. Boiled shrimp.
Oh, what?
You wouldn't believe all the stuff on the menu today.
Is this a cafeteria or a country club?
All right, fellas, when are we going to lunch over there? You got to invite me over.
But now it's going to be busy as mess come Fried Chicken Wednesday.
So you just have to be there at 11 a.m. Just have to show up a little bit early and just get there at 11.
I just have to have a job that allows me to go to lunch at 11.
Ooh.
Just kidding. They're
good. You just show up a little early and make it happen.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Maybe a to-go plate.
Okay.
Do they do those?
Yeah. Maybe.
Or if you could just make a plate for me and I'll sit down just after 12.
Anyway, back to sports.
Yeah. No, over to Chelsea with the weather. But anyway, it is sports season and we are excited because, can you believe it? We actually have action. We can recap. We have had athletic contests that have finished and have results. In fact, we've got four of them actually count to the regular season. We've got others that are exhibition matches as well. And, Josh, I don't know about you, but there's just this fun, warm feeling that rushes over you whenever you can finally talk about sports again and not these Mount Rushmore-type conversations and countdowns and everything else that we do. It's fun to finally see results.
Well, I think we were really intrigued to find out, how volleyball would look, especially with this upgraded schedule, which is, no shock, no surprise, year three of the Coach Shirley era, and being able to do some things to get known a little bit more nationally, preseason number 24 poll ranking for volleyball, well-deserved. Now, keep in mind, too, those polls are very heavily influenced by your finish at the end of the previous season. So 24 was about where we expected that volleyball would be. But this is a team that we feel like was going to have, if they stay healthy, the word is that they would have more quality depth. They were obviously tinkering with the lineup. Day one went really, really well. Day two was more riddled, if you will.
A pun. Because Embry-Riddle was the first team to beat Cary.
Ooh. Very well done.
Unintended.
Uh-huh. But you go 500, you pick up two quality neutral site wins, and then you fall to the home team, and then you lose one where you didn't play very well. But could have You know, gone 3-1, I think, would be realistic that you say could have gone 3-1 over the week, and that'll carry them into week two.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that the non-conference is such a building block type of part of the year. And when you get into the SSAC, not to say that it's a weak conference, but you have less opportunities to really build with solid action out there on the hardwood. You get that from this development part of the season. And it's very similar to what Coach Owens and company do in women's soccer. You schedule it heavy on the front end, and all of a sudden, once you get through conference play, you're well-seasoned and ready to face the postseason once you get there. Now, I will say this. Very impressed at the not just two wins of matches to start off the year, but 3-0 blankings of their first two opponents. Texas Wesleyan and Oklahoma City, the first two that Carey faced back on Friday, able to win those 3-0 and 3-0. Before eventually, like you said, falling to Embry-Riddle 3-0 and Our Lady of the Lake, the host school, 3-0. But all said, some bright spots, some shining performances, some newcomers that we get to finally hear about as far as what their product is when they get out there on the floor. And I don't think that we can, you know, let time pass by without us bringing attention to some of those that have really shown out so far. In fact, you look at the top three leaders in kills. You have Sophia Bettini, have known about her, obviously. She's been around for a little while. But you bring up, and my apologies ahead of time if I get pronunciations incorrect. We'll fix that as time goes on. But Alyssa Porti and Natalie Bartholomew, two newcomers. I believe they're both newcomers. If not, they're, you know, players that did not play long for William Carey in the previous season.
Bartholomew's a transfer from Blue Mountain, which I was really excited about.
Mississippi
that pickup.
Native.
Yes.
And so both of them had 28 kills over the last weekend. So four matches and 28 kills each. Then you also add to the total Zoe Mitchell and Agnes Hergart, not sure Swedish name there, with 22 and 19 kills respectively. So a whole new team as far as the people that are getting into the action as far as kills. In the middle, as a setter, you have a veteran in Katarina Vulic. But all said, this is a team that is seasoned in its own right, but with just not the playing together that's really been set in stone. You haven't really had them all together playing except in practice until this past weekend.
Well, I had a chance to try to reach out to Coach Shirley today. It was a Monday. Tried to reach out to Coach Shirley, just kind of get her feel. There's a lot going on. First day of class, you're trying to get schedules smoothed out. You're trying to just round out all the rough edges, so to speak, on opening day of class. So wasn't able to get in touch with her. But when I look at the scores, and I look at Embry-Riddle, and I look at what was the only non-competitive match of the weekend, again, in a 2-2 weekend. And then I look at the way they bounce back against the host, and I look at the way they bounce back against Our Lady of the Lake University. It was literally, 25-22, 25-22, 26-24, went to a tiebreaker in that third set. So extremely close. So you feel like that there was a motivational pep talk, if you will, after that first maybe a little bit of a hangover from day one, maybe a little overconfident coming off day one, and then got humbled a little bit and then responded against perhaps, you know, the best team they played all weekend there in Our Lady of the Lake University. So I like the grit in the team. I like the energy. And I Bettini is a player that's interesting to me, because if Bettini's 3 or 4 inches taller, she might not be in a William Carey University uniform because she is just a violent player in the best way possible. She is so physical. She's so aggressive. She is such an energizer for that team, but she is undersized. She's only right at 5'9". So she's not 6'1". She's not 6'2". There as that outside hitter position. So some of the players that have a little bit more size need to handle their roles. They need to clean up some of the errors. I would expect them to do that. And if they do that in short order, I would expect another good weekend this weekend.
You know, just looking back at this, Josh, just talking about individual performances, Swetlin Lima, who is not a part of the program anymore, she's since transferred out, but had a huge percentage of the kills in last season through four matches. To see him spread out so evenly across the board, I'm not sure what to take away from there. My early indication is that that's some good talent spread wide. Not necessarily that there are no superstars, but just to say that it's not all focused in on just one player doing the lion's share of it.
And here's what it says to me, is that whatever Coach Shirley can draw up in terms of game plan, Kat Vulich, who is an elite setter in the league, not only one of the elite setters in the league, one of the elite setters in the country. So when you have a quarterback, in a sense, a distributor of the rock like Carey does, wherever they need to get it in their sets offensively, she's going to be able to facilitate that and get it there. And as you mentioned, with so much balance, as they get a little more consistent, this is going to be a very difficult team to game plan against.
So a 2-2 start for Coach Shirley and company in the volleyball ranks. Upcoming, the soccer schedule. Thursday night, both men and women begin their treks through the 2025 fall/winter campaign. We're going to talk to one of the Lady Crusaders herself, who's been a product of one of our favorite Pine Belt schools. Some of us have some ties to it. Ella Jeffcoat is going to join us on Crusader Talk, so stay with us.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, rocking and rolling here in our second segment of Crusader Talk. Glad to have you with us. Caleb Hamill, Josh West, Dalton Stanford back with us. You heard his voice earlier. I'm so happy I don't have to be pressing those buttons this week. I get to relax, take some time back to myself, and just cruise.
And look at me across the console.
That's it. I get a much better view this time. No offense, Josh.
Well, thank you. Taken.
I don't know. I got to see Coach Farrell across the desk last week, too.
So, oh, that's pretty hard to beat.
Yeah. So that's, you know, talked to him last week. If you missed that episode, if you're out there listening live on Super Talk Hattiesburg, you can go search wherever you get your podcast from. Just search for Crusader Talk. You can also go to supertalk.fm. It's available there. Just search through the menus, through sports, find Crusader Talk. It'll be there. It's the most recent episode prior to this one. We previewed a little bit of men's soccer as they were prepping this week or this past week for an exhibition couple contest, one of which was against Meridian Community College. We may need to get Clayton Rush on. He was over at that match. Got to take some of that in. But outside of men's soccer, starting about the same time is going to be women's soccer at William Carey, and we are happy to be joined by veteran player for Coach Danny Owens. It's Ella Jeffcoat, product out of West Jones High School. Ella, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank y'all for having me.
It is so good to hear your voice and good to be back talking about soccer yet again. I feel like we never really take a day off talking about soccer, however, just because it's so prominent at William Carey and it's one of our favorite topics. Used to aggravate one of our former producers as well because he wasn't as much of a soccer fan, but we'll give him grace because we had enough love to compensate for that. Not you, Dalton, somebody else. But anyway, it's exciting to get ready for a new season. New faces come into the program. What excites you about the start of a new year each and every time?
Well, like you said, just the new faces. This year we have a huge group of people that are just new. So lots of freshmen. So just the newness of all that to see them excited to play and excited to learn. I mean, there's really nothing more you could ask for. So just the eagerness of it all.
It's exciting to see every new face and learn them each and every year. And it's also awesome to see Coach Owens not only recruiting outside the state of Mississippi and internationally, because we know there are a lot of people that reach out to William Carey about being part of this program, but to see him recruit players like yourself, in the past Lauren Jones, and others from this Pine Belt area. How cool is it to have been brought into the fold amongst so much talent that comes to this university year in and year out?
It really does feel like an honor because, I mean, he, like you said, he's picking from all around, and to know that I'm one of the local ones that he saw fit for the team, saw something, you know, special in, I mean, it's just an honor to help the program and to be a part of it, truly.
Ella, this is Josh over here on the other side of the studio, so to speak. And I was visiting with players like Virginia Mesa and Karen Vallow over the summer. And, you know, some of those veteran returners, they coming from different places across the globe. But all of you are linked with this common purpose that you're coming back for another year at William Carey to win a national championship. Is that something that's talked about? Is it vocalized amongst that group of such a clear goal year in and year out to win a second national championship for this program?
Oh, 100%. It is our main focus. It's real big that we obviously celebrate the wins, but once we win, we put it behind us because our final goal is to win a national championship. It's fun to win season games. It's fun to win conference. But at the end of the day, that's not our goal. Those are just stepping stones to winning the national championship.
I remember last year, Zalma Torres wouldn't even celebrate necessarily after wins. Christina Salmon wouldn't celebrate after goals. It was like, we're not even celebrating. We're not really going to show a lot of emotion until the postseason. But in particular, getting to the final site. Is that something that is spoken, or is it kind of now an unspoken rule, the level of focus that this team has on a match-in, match-out basis?
It's mentioned kind of towards the very beginning of the year, but after that, it just becomes the standard. Nobody really is just like, we're not going to celebrate. It's just, okay, back to work, and you move on. Like, it's just kind of how kind of understood, so to speak.
Now, as you approach this upcoming 2025 season, and I know as players you're probably preached to by the coaching staff to not look ahead, but just in drawing a parallel here to last year and the tough non-conference schedule y'all played, almost out of necessity for the training, Josh and I were talking about that for volleyball as well. It seems like it's a very similar lineup to start off y'all's year with some tough competition early ahead of conference play. How do you feel like that has developed these teams both last year and upcoming this year as you prepare for not only conference play but the postseason as well?
I just think every game that comes, you just have to take it for what it is. There will be tough teams. There will be some where it's almost feel like, what's the point? But it's all worth something. It's big to keep the focus of next game. Like, you get through one game and you're on to the next. So I just think having that mindset and building that all season up to postseason is just huge for us.
Now, I can ask about X's and O's and all the intricacies of the soccer matches that happen out there on Danny Owens Field, but I want to pull back the curtain a little bit and talk more about the personalities that are a part of this team. And you mentioned mm-hmm. that when new players come in, it's an exciting time. What's it like building that chemistry with one another, and who are some of your closer friends that you've been able to develop in your years at Carey already?
That's probably one of my favorite parts of being a part of the Carey soccer team, is just learning everybody's background, where they're from, what they like, learning the difference between cultures. It really is special. It's so special. But Lauren Jones, obviously another local girl, she was one that I, one, looked up to, but she became a really close friend of mine. But then also Karen and Virginia, like you mentioned, they've been with me since freshman year. To seeing them grow but also help me learn has been so special. So just all of it, learning about each other and learning what matters to each other, it makes it so much easier to want to play for them on the field.
You talk about learning these different cultures. Does anybody bring their culture in the form of their food experiences? Do they ever have a taste testing night, or is there not really anybody in particular that's a great cook on the team?
Well, there's no taste testing going on, but I'm not against that. I would love for that to happen, but our two Japanese girls, Nana and Coco, they brought some snacks over from Japan, and I will say that has been really interesting and actually delicious. So, I mean, those are two that, off the top of my head, I can think of.
Well, we'll have to figure out what the best snacks were and see if we can get them ordered online sometime soon.
Ella, you know, talking about this, the culture, and not only the culture on the team, but the culture at the school, how It's just a larger group that is coming together. Yeah, the freshmen taking part in Carry Wow Weekend. You remember those great memories just a few short years ago. But just the energy on campus right now. Every year it gets bigger and better. What was the buzz like on day one today?
It was really amazing. Like you said, it has grown each year, especially in the time that I've been here. And just to watch it grow has been really fun. But just all the friendly faces, if you need help, there's always somebody there. It just really does feel like a family, and it's a community, and it's really fun to watch and see it grow over the years.
So, Ellie, you're kind of entering your second half of your college tenure, and I don't have it in front of my eyes. What's your major, by the way?
I'm a biology major.
Gotcha. So as you kind of wind out the classes, I know it feels weird to talk about being kind of on the back edge of all that, but what's kind of the thought long term? What are you looking to do going forward?
My goal is to be a sports nutritionist, so I will go on to get my master's in nutrition and hopefully become a registered dietitian, but I would love to stay in sports and stay connected in that way. So that's the goal as of right now.
Hey, give me some of those nutrition facts on those Japanese treats that Nanako, Seki, and all them brought over.
Oh, I'm not sure I can help you out there. I'll have to do my research.
Get a good translator app. Scan that nutrition label. See if it can translate it all. We're talking to Ella Jeffcoat, William Carey, women's soccer player. Got about a minute left, Ella. If you could sum it up in your own words, what is it about William Carey that makes it special, both as a school but also as a soccer program?
As I mentioned, just the community. There's always somebody there to help you. But also, just like I said, the culture, seeing all of them be blended together and everybody come together for one common goal, it's just, there's nothing like it, truly. There really isn't. And I've loved every minute of being here, the good and the bad. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Truly a redundant question on my part, and I appreciate you fielding it nonetheless.
And my final thought is this: from a, I've got to ask this for the fans, for the diehard fans, from a health standpoint coming into camp, and we'll get Coach Owen's take on this as well. How healthy is the group coming into another fall camp?
This has been the best fall camp in my opinion over the past 3 years. They kind of took a different approach, and it kept us all healthy, no new injuries, and I mean that's all you can really ask for. And so I really do think that it was a good time leading up to season.
Hey, best news I could receive. Well, Ella, thanks so much for joining us. We're about to talk to your coach and get his take on your interview. No, we're going to get a take on what this season looks like ahead, and we appreciate your time tonight.
Well, thank you all so much for having me.
All right, thanks so much. That is Ella Jeffcoat, local Pine Belt product and player for the William Carey Crusaders women's soccer team. When we come back, her coach, Coach Danny Owens, joins us. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, y'all ready to play some football?
Football.
Let's play some football.
It's here.
It is. It is here, finally. Ooh. I know I've said it once already in the show, but I'm so happy to be back to live sports. And I'm having to give you my Thursday. I forgot I had something come up. But you're going to get a treat.
I am going to get a treat. Notice I was quick to say yes.
You were, and I told Clayton this much.
I immediately changed my schedule. Are you available? Yes.
just my child's first birthday. No,
we'll move it.
Golly. You hear that, Coach Owens? That is how committed Josh is, and I guess how much of a flake I am.
No, I think first birthday might trump it all.
Well, that was a figure of speech. It's more of something else that with my loaded down sports schedule, I said I'm going to have to choose one family thing. It wasn't a birthday or anything, but just one family thing and level it all out. Plus, I took so much away from Josh by picking up soccer and giving him volleyball, because if you've seen Coach Shirley's schedule, man, there's hardly a home match for the first half of the season.
That's okay.
I feel like I owed it to him.
Well, look, Coach, my wife knows to go to the schedule, And so the first birthday is on Sunday, October 26th, because we've got volleyball the 24th and the 25th. So, I mean, she already knows. And now his birthday's on the 16th, but whether it's my birthday, September 22nd, whether it's, you know, my son's December, October, that's right in the middle of sports season. You've got a schedule. Typically Sunday afternoons are the birthdays. You can well relate to that, can't you?
I can. Weddings and birthdays have to be pushed back to bye weekends or Sundays.
Bye weekends and Sundays.
That's right.
And then will come the weddings one day.
Yeah,
a good friend of mine was actually a sportscaster, and his daughter decided to get married in the middle of football season. But she did select the bye week. They got an early tip of when the bye week was going to come, and they booked it. So
there you go.
Anyway, well, I was going to say we are so excited to finally have y'all out there on the field playing real live action that's going to count towards the regular season. It all begins Thursday with LSU Alexandria coming to Hattiesburg for a 6 o'clock start. Coach, it feels like a long time coming, but hey, we are finally about to begin.
We're finally here. It was kind of slow to get here, and now we're speeding along. So we're excited about Thursday for sure.
Yeah, Ella, going to our break, Josh had posed the question to her, and I'll also bring it up to you just because I want to hear your take on it. But health-wise, feels like everything's pretty good so far, at least from what she was trying to lead us to believe.
Yeah, we had one injury. I think it was girl just pushed through something that maybe she, because she's a new player, and probably pushed through something she didn't need to. But, you know, they want to prove, they want to keep playing, you know. So, but yeah, we it's kind of what Ella stated there at the end. We took a different approach to preseason this year, and kind of found that, you know, a lot of our soft tissue injuries come in that first week, and we wanted to stay away from that as much as we can. So we tweaked some things and kind of stair-stepped them into, you know, as the week progressed, kind of pushed them, and then we gave them some days off, and we kind of pushed them again, and then we backed off of them, and then we gave them a nice, you know, we played Thursday night and went Saturday, gave them off Friday, went Saturday, gave them off Sunday, and actually asked Ella today how was she feeling, and she said this is the best she's felt since camp started. So from a health standpoint, we're exactly where we want to be.
Now, as we enter a new season, obviously, there are always the conversations about, you know, what did you lose? What did you bring back? What are the biggest areas that you have needed to replenish as one season has transitioned to another? I think last year, one of the big things that came to mind was the back three, back four. And as you come into this season, I feel like my biggest question mark is, who's going to come forward on the ball? Because you lose Christina Salmon. Or Christina Salmon for last year was the big-time player. Alicia Davis has moved on. Essa was a big part of scoring last year as well. Who's going to go forward on the ball and score for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we're still kind of finding that out. Typically for us in, you know, these first few weeks, most of our attention is defending and maybe teaching them how we want to play. But, you know, in a couple of preseason games, I think we scored 5 goals one game, and we had 5 different goal scorers. And the next game, it was kind of the same thing. Someone scored maybe 2 and then a different score. So so the jury's still out on who's going to score, but I think we have some good attacking pieces, and we're still kind of tweaking the you know, not the roster, but the lineup, and kind of making some adjustments. It's just hard, you know, this time of year because you're not playing games and the team hasn't really settled in and established himself. So we have some new players. You know, we have a freshman from Brandon that's come in. We have a transfer from Louisiana that started on Thursday that played up front. I was actually just picked up a transfer tonight, actually, on the way in. So she's a forward. She's from Jamaica, really fast, scores a lot of goals. So ask me on hopefully on Thursday night, and I'll tell you who's going to be our goal scorer. Hopefully, we have a few of them.
I may have just picked up a Christina 2.0 there. As far as this lineup, is there anything that you feel like is pretty well solidified? Is it your goalkeeper, anybody in the midfield? Who's kind of already rock solid there?
Yeah, well, obviously, Liv and Ella have kind of, you know, Ella's been playing for us, and Liv started last year in the back. But both of them have been there for 3 years. And early on, we moved Ella to center back from the midfield position. And those two have, you know, just as a pair, have been really good. Argentina on the right back position has kind of locked in that place. I think right now she's playing really well. Has had a good camp. She came in really fit. And then it's not surprising, but Coco is. We've moved Coco into more of a defensive midfielder position, and
ooh,
wasn't quite sure how that was going to work. You know, moving Ella was such an important piece to our midfield last year and dropping her to the back. And then Coco, that seems to have kind of fallen into place, at least early on. So, you know, and then Nier has been, you know, right now she's the starter for the goalkeeping position. But, you know, Marie's right on the heels, and we brought another goalkeeper in. So, I would say after preseason, our back line looks pretty good. Karen Bilal's in the midfield, and she just had a great year yesterday. She doesn't get a lot of the attention. She doesn't score a ton of goals or get a ton of assists, but she's so good on the ball, and she's such a good playmaker and keeps the, you know, the game flowing and the ball moving. She really had her best kind of year in the national tournament. She was phenomenal, and she's had a good camp. So Karen in the midfield, and then some girls that were maybe on the team last year that were coming off the bench that gave good minutes. Or Leslie Vasquez is right now has been starting for us, and you know she got a lot of minutes off the bench, but she's had a strong start. So I would say right now our back line and with Coco sitting in there, it's looked pretty good. And now we're just, you know, we kind of feel like what we have now. But as I tell the girls, the starting lineup in August is never the starting lineup in November, December. So we'll kind of mess around with it and see what's best for our team. And, you know, last year we started in a 4-4-2 formation, and we ended the season with the back three. We played a 3-5-2 and a 3-4-3. So, we'll kind of see how the season unfolds that way.
So you started developing from the back to front, just how I say that airlines should load their planes. That's
right.
That's how it should be. But nevertheless, they don't listen to me. Josh, jump in here.
So, Coach, my thought here is this. When I hear you talking about, we kind of glazed over it, about the health of the team, the change of philosophy to some degree, a little bit, maybe not a change of philosophy, but a change of execution in fall camp is how you approach the season. I go back to the last couple of postseason runs that ended not the way you wanted them, and I think about just – whether there was a key injury at an inopportune time, or maybe at the most inopportune time, to where that key piece might not have been healthy or was far from healthy in a goal scoring role, and then goals just kind of dried up at the worst possible time. Is it the hopes that the preparation for this camp was not only to be healthy here at the start of the season, but that it's going to actually pay dividends in the postseason as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that we've really taken on board as a coaching staff the last maybe 3 years, heavily the last 2 years for sure. We have that Catapult GPS system, and we're real big in like player load and mileage, and there's something called an ACR score that kind of gives us a range of where the players are health-wise. If they're too low, we don't want to spike them in the work, and if they're too high, we don't want to keep pushing them. So, the idea was just to kind of gradually build into it. Fitness wise, we might not be where we were last year, the year before, but like you said, maybe there was probably a time in October, maybe even the conference tournament, where I thought we played our best soccer, and we don't. You know, that was maybe a little bit too early. We might not want to be playing our best soccer
You know, you definitely want to be at the end, but you want it to be at the very end. So, the idea was to just kind of build them, make sure they stayed healthy, you know, because now you play catch-up if you get an injury. And, with 12 new players, we didn't want anybody playing catch-up and missing 2 to 3 weeks, because everybody's getting fit, everybody's getting faster on the ball and getting the coaching and getting within the team. And, you know, if you're out for a couple weeks, you're having to play catch-up with just being in the team and then with the fitness and the speed of play and, you know, as the intensity, you know, the level of speed that we're playing now will not be the same that we'll be playing, say, September 15th, you know. So we wanted to kind of slowly build into it and again, be healthy, make sure all of our new players had a full camp. And we had, you know, a majority of our team for the first game, and I think we're there. And we'll slowly, you know, we've got almost a few days until we play on Tuesday, and then we have a week, and then we'll kind of, you know, ramp it up and get our fitness in the games, and we'll be where we need to be by conference play for sure.
Well, Coach, we're looking forward to it as you begin your season officially on Thursday night at 6. Look forward to having everybody out there to your namesake field over there on William Carey's campus as the Crusaders take on LSUA. Thanks so much, Coach.
Yep, thank you.
Appreciate All right, it. He is Danny Owens. We'll be back.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, good conversation centered around women's soccer in the middle part of the show. Also started off the show with volleyball. Again, if you missed that, catch us on demand. Wherever you get your podcast, just search for Crusader Talk. Josh, good conversation with Coach Owens a while ago, just talking about the team's health and trying to maintain that. And I remember a while back whenever they first started implementing this GPS tracking system with their players to know how far they've gone in a given match or practice for that matter. It's funny because I can recall not too long after a match that we had covered, I want to say it was last year, maybe it was the year before, but anyway, I go back behind the team's bench area and they've got the iPads out trying to see how many miles each of the players had run or what their score was. And they would start saying, go run, you know, so many miles or so many steps. Cause I think it was measured to how many steps it was per player. And it was funny because somebody like Zalma Torres, you know, her little self, would run so many more steps than a person like Rosie Fernandez for the same mileage. And it was just funny to try to see, oh yeah, Zalma's already covered up. So-and-so, you got to go another mile or two, you know, whatever it may be. I think they measured it in laps across the practice field or something like that. But it's so cool in this day and age to see how far technology has come, not just in the fan experience and in the in-game stuff, but the true thing that kind of matters coming out of it, and that's continued health and longevity for the players that are out there. Because that's something that, not to say it has gone by the wayside in years past, but it's been an afterthought for sure. And it's now at the forefront and so easy to help with.
Well, I mean, again, I just go back to the national championship game a couple of years ago where if Julia Erbst was 100%, Carey wins a national championship. And then last year, it was kind of almost as if collectively the team ran out of gas a little bit. And again, that's just casual, almost the most casual of observations. And that's way oversimplified. And that's not, you know, entirely what happened. Everybody's good when you get to that, you know, quarterfinal round, and they didn't win against well-coached, very talented teams. But you're just, like Coach said, he said, kind of felt like we peaked in the conference tournament. You want to be playing well late, but you want to be playing well very late. One of the interesting things when you look back at just how dominant Carey has been and little notes, little nuggets we take for granted, you got to go all the way back to September of 2022, the last time Carey did not win a home soccer match. That was against Kaiser. You got to go all the way back to September 6th of 2018. September 8th of 2018 against John Brown, Arkansas, the last time that Cary lost a home match in women's soccer. That is insane.
Maybe it's time we lost one, Josh. I'm being slightly facetious right there, but when you talk about 2018, you know what happened that year.
Yeah.
They won it all.
Went all the way.
So maybe they do need the home loss there to throw it off.
But it is remarkable, the sustained success. I mean, we're going on seven seasons worth of success since a home loss, which is remarkable.
Yeah, incredible. And that's the thing, is that Cary has had sustained success during the regular season for several years, not just home schedule, but in general regular season. And that's why 2 years ago that loss in the national championship game just was so much more of a dagger, because you had such a perfect year, and to lose it in penalties at the end for the national championship was just heartbreaking. And I know Coach Owens, it hurt him just as much as it did the players to go that far and to come up short. And, you know, not to say that last year was a little different because you got put out a little bit earlier, but still, it stings. And that sting and that monkey on the back of knowing that you are a national champion in years gone by and that you've been so close in the most recent few years means all the more to your players and your coaching staff. They think, hey, we should be right back there again and should be hoisting a trophy in our final game of the year. And I definitely think that they have the personnel to get it done. I think they have the schedule to strengthen themselves along the way to get it done. It's just kind of that question mark of, you know, like what happened last year. Will they sustain the energy level? Will they sustain their strength through thick and thin as they go to the postseason all the way up to and through the national championship game?
I will say this. It's going to be as hard or harder for the men to get back to the semis or the national championship game as I think it will be for the women to get back into the semis or championship. I think that women's soccer has a great chance to improve. I think men's soccer is going to have it's going to be a challenge. They have the talent to do it. But, I mean, when you're in the semis and you're down to the final four, to repeat that again would be very challenging. But then I would not be shocked if volleyball can match their success. I'll put it that way. Match their success from a year ago and then maybe get out to the final site and win a match. That would not shock me.
Could be possible. Also, don't want to go away without bringing up this note that at the start of the year, Coach Holford was honored for having completed 50 years of being on William Carey's staff. It's hard to imagine 50 years of doing anything, much less being at the same job for that long. Different positions along the way, but mainly head baseball coach, sometime in the athletic department as well. All right, get ready for soccer coming up Thursday. Men soccer on the road, women's soccer at home. For Josh and Dalton, I'm Caleb Hamill. Good night, God bless, and go Saters.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.